Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the sensible football podcast. This is Tariq joining you along with Vishal.
Hey guys.
Who I can report is grinning ear to ear for obvious reasons. Not because he has a great trek starting in two days. But clearly because we are here to discuss the biggest result of the weekend. And a result that had a lot of ramifications otherwise in that crucial second to fifth spot race that has been going on in the Premier League. So we will talk about that, Vishal. And of course, just to get you back down to earth and to give you a reality check, we'll also have to remind you that there is Manchester United versus Sevilla coming up.
I refuse to acknowledge this game.
With the tie pretty much on a knife's edge.
I refuse to acknowledge.
Slightly blunt knife, but it's still on the edge.
What are you talking about?
But two happier pastures, Vishal, and
two
breaking down this game.
Yep.
One of the biggest games of the season.
Absolutely.
Primarily because City running away with the title, this had become a battle for second, and this was as six-pointers come.
Completely.
This could have put Liverpool a couple of points ahead of United at second spot.
Yes.
Or it could have put daylight between United and Liverpool in between the second and the third spot.
Yep.
Of course, we know the latter happened
yep.
because the result was Manchester United 2, Liverpool 1.
Yep.
And as a great friend of the pod, Vinayak headlined it for their website, The Field, Manchester United score all three goals in 2-1 win against Liverpool.
Yep. Honestly, that was the only way Liverpool was scoring in that game.
So, the own goal was what gave Liverpool a glimmer of hope, but frankly, Vishal, we've been talking about this, and I was the first to point out that Liverpool have not really had the better of United over the last four seasons or so. We looked at the results. United did a double a couple of seasons ago, draws last time.
Yep.
Liverpool really could not push the case even when they had a good team. And remember, these are United teams that were not in the best of shape.
Not close to the best of
shape.
Let's
put it this way, these are United teams that were being coached by Louis van Gaal. And
Far
yet, somehow Liverpool have not been able to put results past their biggest rivals.
Yep.
As you put it rightly,
yep.
One of the biggest or best feelings for a United fan has to be
it is my best feeling,
beating Liverpool, regardless of what else is happening in the league, because
absolutely.
This by itself is a micro battle
absolutely.
That is huge. We know what went on in the reverse fixture.
Yep.
Liverpool threw everything but the kitchen sink,
yep.
or maybe including the kitchen sink, and Mourinho
put De Gea in between
and managed to get away with the 0-0
yep.
We are here today on this podcast to talk about how Jose Mourinho channeled his inner Sam Allardyce
absolutely
to pull off this 2-1 result. So Vishal, yours, let's begin.
I think a clear case of Klopp being outfoxed by Mourinho, because Klopp actually did everything that Mourinho wanted him to do in this game. One, to start with, he asked Lovren to mark Lukaku. Biggest mistake that you could ever make when you have a Virgil van Dijk who's almost as big as Lukaku, who's almost as strong as Lukaku to mark him. So, first mistake. Two, starting your central midfield with Oxlade-Chamberlain was a massive mistake, because starting an Oxlade-Chamberlain against a De Bruyne's and a David Silva is different, because these are players who like to attack, who are not man markers, who are not defensively minded players. So that works when, because that will allow Oxlade-Chamberlain to defend less and bomb forward more. But starting him against Matic and McTominay is possibly suicidal, because his other companion was Emre Can, who had too much to do because Oxlade-Chamberlain was playing for his centre part.
And this has been a feature of Emre Can's game. We haven't seen him create a lot, especially when he's given all these multiple roles and multiple areas to cover. And let's get to the point about McTominay that you made. He's been making a mark, was impressive in the European game.
Yep.
And impressive in a big game here.
Yep. And impressive against Chelsea as well. So that's been a great 3 weeks for McTominay. And this is a guy who got subbed off at halftime against Crystal Palace. To come back and to perform at this level against Liverpool was absolutely great. And while everybody says a lot of things, I think United won this game in the centre of the park, where they did not give Liverpool the time and the time that they normally take to, you know, make those intricate passes, make those intricate moves and those bomb forwards that happen. So Matic and McTominay pretty much ruled the Liverpool midfield out of the game, which meant that somebody like a Salah, somebody like a Mane would have had to fall in and pick, take the ball deeper, which they've not done too much this season. So suddenly that was the
and
gaping
nor
hole.
Nor does it come very naturally to them.
Exactly. So that was a gaping hole that really came out, where suddenly Firmino was dropping in too deep and Firmino was trying to create for these two. While there were little glimpses here and there, it simply comes down to the fact that in the second half, when Liverpool were trailing by two goals, they did not have one shot on target. So I think it was a masterclass, and simple offensively, it was very clear from minute three what United were going to do. They were going to boss Lovren. The minute I think Mourinho saw Lovren on Lukaku, he must have made that note saying victory to United, because that's exactly what happened. Because the long ball from De Gea, the first header one, and obviously credit to Rashford for making
fantastic touch from Lukaku to begin with. And fantastic finish from Rashford, because great turn and an absolutely emphatic finish.
Absolutely. And like a lot of videos have come out online of how that was a very Ronaldo's finish, where he did the same switch against Liverpool in the past and scored. So it was an overall great performance from United. I think United definitely bossed the game over the period of 90 minutes. And like you mentioned, the only way Liverpool was scoring was the own goal which Eric Bailly scored. So I think it was a very convincing performance after a very long time. Yes, we beat Chelsea as well, but it was not this convincing. Even when we were 2-1 up, I still did not really feel threatened by the way Liverpool were playing, because their decision making was poor, their shot selection was poor, they did not get into the right selection. Yes, there was a couple of penalty shout-outs, but that cannot be your basis of...
But again, in the larger picture, we always... It has been in the policy at Soccer Sense not to get taken into hot takes.
Yeah.
And we do not talk about them, because it's the larger trend that we are talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly.
And we've already mentioned that...
you should be in a position to win a game without these calls and without depending on these decisions. So I think a masterclass from United, and especially Mourinho, because he pretty much predicted what Klopp was going to do, and Klopp pretty much did it, and sadly did not have too much of an option to change it up. And that's possibly where you see Keita coming in next season, hopefully try to change that for Liverpool. But the central midfield was a clear weakness identified and pointed out, and I don't think even if Henderson would have played, would have made too much of a difference, because he would have made lateral passes instead of forward passes. So
yes, and the Liverpool fandom entirely seems to agree.
Yeah.
But just to point out that the last time Liverpool did the double over United was in the 2013-14 season, when they challenged for the title, and of course United were managed by a certain David Moyes. Incidentally, his original contract still has about a year left. And in the meantime, a couple of managerial changes at United.
Yep.
And yet, Liverpool have struggled to get victories.
Absolutely.
Against their big rivals. And the losses have always been of this template of falling behind 2-0, falling behind early, and really not being able to go there.
Because there's too much work to do against a United team who, you know, the minute they go and get a comfortable lead, are not going to push forward, are going to sit back and defend. And they honestly did not park the bus this game. They defended in the spaces where Liverpool normally occupy and try to dominate. So I think it was credit to Ashley Young for completely eliminating Mo Salah out of the game, because he completely eliminated those runs, because he was very close to Mo Salah, and Mo Salah was not used to being defended like that. Similarly, right back Valencia, where a couple of crucial interception at the right time before Mane could make move. So overall, it was a solid performance.
Mourinho might have found a new strategy here, that not putting the bus, but
you
know, park a bunch of vans around.
I was honestly surprised with the sheer lack of preparation that Liverpool had in place for the United's offense, because the minute you saw a Rashford and a Lukaku start, you have to guess what is going to happen here, because Lukaku, one, has been incredible in the last 6 weeks, has been scoring goals consistently, has been creating goals consistently, so finally realizing one what he can bring to the squad, and also doing it well. And
it's amazing, given that Liverpool had a midweek Champions League fixture, which wasn't a big deal for them, because it was just a question of sealing that tie. They had kind of the perfect run-up to come up to this big game and make a statement and really seal their season, which now becomes extremely competitive at the fag end, because the number 3 or number 4 spot is definitely...
Now they've fallen to 4 because Spurs make a comeback victory against Bournemouth yesterday, and Chelsea are suddenly looking at you in the striking distance and saying, okay, maybe I can challenge them for 4. So a lot of unnecessary pressure put on themselves, because on form they should have come here and done a far better job than they did. So Klopp really needs to look at it, because one thing also that United exposed and did very well was targeting Arnold instead of going at Robertson, because Robertson seemed to be far more composed in this thing, and United pretty much bossed the left-hand side of the game and pretty much won the game that exactly there. So,
and of course, we have discussed the legendary volatility of the Liverpool fandom, who in the midweek after moving forward onto the quarterfinals of the UEFA Champions League, which of course was a terrific result, and we knew that from the last week, last to last week, because they'd more or less sealed the tie there. And yet, at that point of time, there was extreme optimism of taking on Real Madrid and the likes of anybody they could bring on.
See, the thing is, anybody, any manager who watched yesterday's game have pretty much got the formula to beat Liverpool. And sadly, after watching it, even I'm almost convinced that they will need a couple of more players to really go up there and challenge, because yes, on their day they can push it up, but if a team is going to prepare for them tactically, I don't know how Liverpool will counter, for example.
And I think every team that you can imagine in the Champions League quarterfinals, for sure.
Ask Paris Saint-Germain, as in they expected Madrid to come out gunning.
He's definitely
and
going
they
to
started
prepare.
With Kovacic and and Casemiro in midfield, and everybody was like, what is happening? What's Madrid doing? And you saw
and
what
of
happened.
Course, and of course, you also saw what happened with Juventus and Tottenham. Experience paying off in there, and Tottenham
absolutely.
Put in a performance for the ages, but just not good enough.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
Amazingly for Tottenham, they put a performance for the ages in both legs.
Absolutely. As in, I think for the first time in about 5 years, North London was done good justice, because Tottenham did put in a stellar shift. Unfortunately, they didn't qualify.
And
but
once again, North London got eliminated in the round of 16, which is not new.
Not new at all. But respect to them for coming back the way they did against Bournemouth after going 1-0 down, losing Harry Kane, and still come back and score 4 goals to win a game away. So Tottenham,
and that too against a team which has been on the ascendancy. Bournemouth have been doing the other
in
way.
In fact, the second loss only in 2018. The only other team better to have a better win-loss record is Tottenham themselves, who's unbeaten in 2018. So here
so
we go.
That's how it sets up for the last 8-odd games in this Premiership season. And the battle between second and fourth still remains just as tight as ever. And we would like to point out, you and I were discussing at the end of the Liverpool game, Liverpool United game, that one of the key differences in terms of stats between Liverpool and United is very simple. United have both more number of victories and losses than Liverpool do. And therein lies all the difference in terms of how.
Absolutely.
Perception wise, people might think United are the less attacking team, but somehow perceptions do not win leagues and positions.
Exactly, and here is the stat. So, if United go at the current rate, they will finish with the best defensive record that they've had from the year 2008-2009. So
that is
them at their peak, which they were competing for the Champions League, competing for the league, winning the league and whatnot. So, while a lot of them might not agree with the style, including me on some days, I might not agree with the way they're doing it, have United moved forward under Jose Mourinho? Well, 6 more points and they outdo their points tally after the post-Fergie era that they've had in the next 6 years. Two more clean sheets and they have the best defensive record that they've kept from 2008. So I don't think you can ask for more. They've scored more goals, they've converted more draws into victories. Yes, they've lost a few crucial games, but
and we have made this point earlier as well, that this in any other universe would be a championship winning run.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's just that
unfortunate
City
are that good.
Have been having just an out of the world season.
Like, as I sat back after this game and took perspective here, I was thinking of United season, right? They beat Tottenham once, lost to Tottenham once. They beat Chelsea once, they lost to Chelsea once. They've beaten Liverpool once
and drawn one.
So I think that's a pretty stellar season for a team competing to be in the top two or top three in the country. So.
So it does set up intriguing times coming up, and of course, do not count United out of the other remaining championships either.
Yep.
So there is still a lot to play for, and we'll be bringing you all that.
Yep.
Next week, like I mentioned at the top of the podcast, Vishal is off to a trek, probably to regain sanity after what has been a couple of wild weeks. But we have our European correspondent in town, so
and I have two more United games to watch before I leave. So.
So we'll sit down with Karan to talk about that United game.
If you hear me screaming from the Himalayas, it's something has gone wrong with the United games. That's me just letting go.
As well as the rest of the games in the round of 16, the major ones. And of course, we'll also look forward to the quarterfinals. Let's see how the draws pan out.
Yep.
It should be extremely intriguing.
Yep.
We still have 4 English teams in the mix.
Yep.
Fates of 2 of them will be decided this week.
Yep. One of them definitely going out. You can decide who.
Barcelona will be desperately hoping that is Chelsea.
They're not alone.
So that's all the time we have. limited time. We're running 15 minutes on this podcast.
Yeah, I'm happy.
But this is what you get from a happy Vishal. United. Because essentially we've never had this situation on the podcast since we reported on United's title winning season of 2013.
Thanks.
That's all the time we have for this week. You can find us on any of the podcasting softwares that you use, Pocket Cast, iTunes. Look for us under Soccer Sense, or you can visit our website, audioboom.com/channel/soccer-sense. We are there. You can find all the episodes and the previous ones. Subscribe to our channel, and you can follow us on Twitter @SenseSoccer. That's about it for this week. This is Tariq signing off along with Vishal.
See you guys. And pray for United.
Prayers seem to be working. See you guys next week.